Graham Gunkels. Good to see the family of the Dunkels there, and the Commandant of the Marine Corps, Steven, and Patience, of course. Missed you the last couple of times. Don't like that when you're not there to hear the only feeding you can get in that little community. Grandma's there. Good. And Mark, Denny O, and this Badlands guy. And she is going to live, apparently. You would not be here still. I think I started this thing. Go ahead and type how she's doing and all that stuff. I'll get my videos already started. Good morning out there, website people. All 45,000 minus one. There's always somebody out there. Pneumonia. Whoa, hey, you know what? You spelled it correctly. Pneumonia. Wow. But she's doing better. My medical update is doing better, too, but you just can't tell. Okay, here we go. Are we ready? Are we ready? Your Bible's there. Just get a couple more readies. Ready means you got your Bible handy and you're not distracted by the normal household distractions. Okay, now, one of the things that we deal with when we talk to folks, you know, they think that you're arrogant. They think that you're some kind of a Bible scholar or something, because they know nothing about their God. They know nothing about their Bible, which we understand that. But we don't rub it in their faces. I've been there. I didn't know anything about this thing. Good for KJV only, of course. Yeah, there you go. There's your name. And when you're trying to talk to people that say they're Christians, they're nice people, they're probably dressed, you know, fairly modest. I mean, don't get down to the nitty-gritty, but the neighborhood is quite showy, if you know what I mean. And women are women and the men are still the men. And out here, I don't fit out here. You go to these little restaurants and all these guys got their cowboy hats on. And it's not because they're cool cowboy duties or whatever you call these guys. These guys are the real thing. They do the cows. They do the cattle. They do the, they don't shoot rattlesnakes. They jump off their horse, grab down there, grab them by the neck and strangle them to death while they try to pinch their tongue as they grab it. As it comes out, they break the teeth off and then they whack off the head eventually and turn it into a belt and they eat the meat. So I don't fit out here. I'm East River, South Dakota. I'm not sure how to define that, but it isn't what West River, South Dakota is. So when you talk to these people, they're nice people. And they're just attached to their religion beyond all attachment. And to show them what we're trying to show them, which I hope to start doing more and more in the next couple months, long as I'll have some freedom here to do such. I'm curious if I can spark an interest somewhere. We do have a blurb in our local Kadoka paper that talks about Paul only, which is amazes me that they even have it in there. We've talked about that before. Oh, sorry, here it comes. I'll try not to do that if I can help it. And inevitably, you're going to talk about the Gospels. Because they're going to talk about Jesus, and that's what they know about Jesus is from the Gospels. Period. They don't even know what Paul says. They don't even know what Hebrews and James. They don't even, when you say James is written to the 12 tribes, they probably don't even know that there are 12 tribes. These are just nice people that are trying to dress right, talk right. Well, not to say trying to dress right, but they're trying to, you know, conservative it anyway. And to show them these things and to talk about this stuff, they get so defensive, and they get so defensive in one way and attacky in the other. Oh, so you don't believe in the rest of the Bible? No, I didn't say that. You know, you don't believe in Jesus and the Gospels. Well, Jesus is our Savior. Let's follow what Jesus teaches. Don't you want to follow what Jesus teaches? Yes, I do. I just want to follow the scriptures as they teach me what Jesus says after he died and rose again. You do believe that he rose again? Yes, I do. Then wouldn't you want to follow his teachings? Well, where are they at? Well, they're in the books that Paul wrote. Oh, no, my pastor doesn't teach that. Ah, you mean you're letting your pastor be your brain and your heart and your soul? How many of these pastors that say they care for your soul are actually sending your soul to hell? Because they're denying them the risen truth. They're teaching them the Jewish teachings that Jesus Christ gave to the Jews when he also said, do not take this stuff to the Gentile. This is your stuff, you guys. I don't understand why. Anyway, whatever. Be quiet. Just relax. Be quiet. Keep going here. I got to do a cough here. So this morning, the title of this thing, which you see on the top up there, go ahead, read the Gospels. I don't tell people not to read the Gospels at all. Of course they need to read the Gospels. How are they going to know about Jesus Christ? How are they going to know that he was actually God manifest in the flesh? How are they going to know what he did on the earth? How are they going to know that he fulfilled the law? How are they going to know that he was killed and crucified and went to hell? And how are they going to know that he rose again? How are they going to know this stuff? So of course, but for some reason, the teachings that are in there, they think that those are the teachings that they need to be taught. And, I mean, look at the logic. Jesus is my Savior. Here's what Jesus taught. And he says at the end of the chapters of Mark and Matthew, the last chapter, that I'm supposed to go out and tell people about these things and get them baptized and get them saved, and then I'll have all these signs and wonders and blessings, and there's your signs and wonders, your blessings, and I'll be protector from the devil, and my marriage will get healed, I'll have money again, I'll have the job I want, and I'll get my car, and God will just bless me because I really want to be the good Christian. And that's and the pastors tell them that. Well, the reason not being so blessed there, Wild Bill, is the fact that you probably got some sin hidden in your life that you haven't confessed yet. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'll talk to you tonight about it, okay? Well, yes, my son, you know, that kind of stuff. And all they got to do is open their Bible themselves. I'm sorry, the men don't have time. And the women are so deceivable that they love to jump into different books and different Bibles. And fair speeches and good words, or good words and fair speeches, or good speeches and fair words. I think it's good fair words and good speeches. I don't know. It's also another name for a book. Everybody reads a book about the book. No, just read the book. So this morning, we're going to... The title. Go ahead, read the Gospels. Just don't do these things right here. Okay, so I encourage people to read the whole entire Bible. Right away, we're accused of not reading the whole entire Bible. Okay? No, I don't feel led to do an Old Testament study on here because maybe I should pick a night. We'll just go through it. But it took us 2 years back at Tushy, and those were quick. No, if you get the Paul thing down, you can make sense of the... You don't need me to tell you what to think when you read through the Old Testament. That's history. And there's some amazing things. You know, Nehemiah. What's going to happen to you when you try to do the right thing in your life? Here's where the six attacks are going to... Here's what the six attacks, I promise you, are going to happen to you. You learn that from Nehemiah. You learn what it's like to try to tell people they're rejecting the words of God. You get that from Jeremiah. You know, there's things all over the place. It's not written to us, but it's there for us. Now, title, go ahead, read the Gospels, just don't. Now, number one, for those of you that are taking notes, because I'm not putting them online anymore, I'm just not having the time or the energy or the... Call it what you want. It's just not getting done. I'm sorry. I really am. I used to do notes all the time up that thing. Maybe when I get this cold gone and the cough gone and anything else gone that needs to go, and I'll have some time to study here. But I don't do well being alone, by the way. Here's a chance for you folks to write to me all the time, because I'm not a good alone person here. And remember, you're alone in South Dakota. You're alone. Anyway, so here we go. Go ahead. Read the Gospels. Just don't. Number one. Reject them. Don't reject them. And I say that because why are we accused of not reading the Gospels? Because the hyper crowd does not encourage your people to read the Gospels. Well, that's Jesus to the Jews, so why read that? Let's just concentrate on Paul, Romans to Philemon. Well, yeah, concentrate on it, but don't reject the Gospels. You know, a couple of you folks have written to me and said, I'm going to start reading the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. You know, fine, just make sure on a daily basis you read what you'll be accountable for, and that's Paul's books, Paul's teachings. And then, yeah, jump into the Old Testament, jump into Proverbs, jump into Psalms, jump into Amos. There's some good prophecy in there. And yet this is where people go. They get caught up in this Old Testament prophecy stuff, and they forget about what they're going to be, they're building. Blocks. So what does Paul call that then? 1 Corinthians 3. He says, "Their wise master another buildeth thereon." You know, be careful what you're building in the process of looking out the neighborhood. You know, so don't reject the Gospels. They're true. They are true. It is a factual, truthful history. They are just as inspired words as they are to Paul. They are just as inerrant. They're not going to make any mistakes. They're just as preserved. Everything that's said in the Gospels is true. It's just that they weren't told to the Gentiles. That's all. And that's huge. Now, let's look at some scriptures here now for a couple minutes here. I hope to get this done this morning because I know most of you can't come back at night. And that's discouraging, but I guess that's life. But I don't feel so rushed. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. See, gospel. Just remember, this isn't written to us, but there's some stuff to learn here. Look at Luke chapter 20, verse 21, where it says here, "And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any." You know, he doesn't care who. They all have to listen to him. He doesn't pick his favorite. He doesn't have a pet disciple. But he says, "But teachest the way of God truly." Okay, yes, Jesus taught the way of God. So yes, you want to go to the Gospels, you'll learn the way of God to the Jews. Because Paul says, look at Acts 18, verse 26. And I should say, look at what the risen Savior told Paul. How come our commandant is red ball there? What is he doing wrong? You playing around there, Captain, again? Acts 18, verse 26. And he began, and this is Apollos, he's a Jewish guy to the max. He knew what he was talking about. He knew about the baptism of John, it says in verse 25. And the scriptures say, knowing only the baptism of John. That's all he knows. See, these people that we talk to, all they know is the baptism of John. This is all they know. And they read in the Gospels, and their pastors preach in the Gospels, and they teach in the Gospels, and the ladies do the little Bible studies in the Gospels, and they get the little Joyce Myers or something, I don't know, some of these little Joni, the skiing accident girl, you know, they got all this, all gospel stuff. This is all gospel stuff. Stephen is coming and going. That's too bad. Typical Marine, always coming and going, can't stay with it. Anyway, sorry about that. I had to put that in. So these guys are being fed nothing but the way of God. Well, what's wrong with the way of God? Well, nothing except the way of God in the Gospels is the way of God towards the Jews. He rejects the Gentile women. He rejects the Gentiles, period. And here's another, I'll put this thought out there for Deanna O'Newen. Do you realize that the Ten Commandments were given to the Jews, not to the Gentiles? Gentiles, their judgment was based on conscience. Romans chapter 2 tells us that. So how come all of a sudden we're getting this high and mighty stuff about the Ten Commandments when they were given to just the Jews? I remember now. Because, see, Paul reiterates the Nine Commandments. Wait a minute. The Jews were given 10. Gentiles are given 9. If you want to call them commandments, he talks about it. Yeah, we don't have to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The other thing, sure, we shouldn't be killing anybody, all that kind of stuff. But just remember, those Ten Commandments were never given to a Gentile. This whole thing is Jewish. Remember last Wednesday night we talked about the Jewish promises that we now get as the body of Christ. And yet people think because we get the Jewish promises, you know, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 9, this type of a thing, that they think that we're supposed to now follow Jesus' teachings in the Gospels? No. Well, how can you say that? Because Paul's books are there, and Paul tells us to follow him. And that's the risen Savior. Paul is not. We're following the risen Savior. And in Galatians chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is where Paul met with the Lord. It's just, people just are not reading their Bibles. They're basing their belief on what they're taught, and they skip everything else. We have lazy, apathetic, selfish, insensitive, fleshly oriented. Wait a minute, that's in Ephesians chapter 4, isn't it? Yeah, they're thinking like the mind of a Gentile, the lost person, the vanity of their mind. Nobody wants to do what Paul teaches. There are these few people out there that are doing what Paul teaches. They don't even realize it. But when the battle comes and the war comes, they'll drop it. because it isn't a spiritual issue for them. They're not doing this stuff because they want to please God. They're doing it because they think it's the right way and God will bless them for it. Something can happen to their children. Something can happen to their house, anything in their life, and it's not God. But when the challenges come and the temptations come, they'll drop it because it's not a spiritual issue. So we got these people. We're looking at Acts chapter 19. I think you finished. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. They've been taught the way of God, and that sounds and it is. It's good. It's the way of God towards the Jews. But Acts, I'll get to it. Acts 18, 26. They're talking. Priscilla and Aquila are talking to Apollos, a certain Jew. He's even born in Alexandria, where they print all the false Bibles today. And it says he knew only the baptism of John. That's all people know today. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla have heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. More perfectly doesn't mean with less mistakes. It means more complete. There's more to the story. Yes, it's called Paul. And you know what? There's even more to this. There's even more to the story after that. It's called the tribulation. You know what? There's even more to the story after that. It's called the millennium. It's all the way of God, but it gets more complete as time goes on. It fills in all the blanks. Anyway, look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. The Gospels. Go ahead. Read the Gospels. Just don't reject them. And this is what the hypers do. This is why people accuse me of being a hyper. No, I don't tell you not to read the Gospels. Read the whole Bible, for crying out loud. Just apply the stuff from Paul. John chapter 1. Don't reject the Gospels. Well, why not? Well, John chapter 1, verse 1. No, verse 10. He came into his own. Okay, see, right there. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, some of them did. Remember the thing about the broken branches and the branches that are still there, that kind of thing, and then the grafted in branches. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Okay, fine. Except, see, we know that believe on his name means that they have to believe that he was the Messiah. They didn't believe that he was the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of God, nor will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We need to know that. Now that's not written to me, and it's written to a Jew, but we recognize that that is a fact. Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Us. Who's us? Jews, John, us, disciples. That's a fact. You still need to learn that stuff. Look at John chapter, I can't read it. It looks like John chapter 1, verse 20. Look it down to verse 29. Yeah. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, sure he does. But he doesn't do it with the teachings of the Gospels. He does it with the teachings of Paul. He didn't take any sins away during the Gospel times, Old Testament times. They were under remission. And he was going to take away the sin of the world through the Jews. Abraham's seed is going to be a blessing to all the nations. I mean, there it is. Come on. It's just there. But there's a fact. He's the Lamb of God, and he always is, he always will be. Look at John chapter 6. He says in John chapter 6, a number of places there. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. Well, yes, he is. And it says here, 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And of course, the Jews right away think, how are we going to eat this guy? Exactly what to think. Maybe they thought, well, you know what? Maybe if we cut up his body, it'll miraculously appear every time. And I knew that one person wouldn't stay. Boy, that's frustrating when people jump in and they listen and then they leave. How can they? How can they? They get scared. They get scared to hear the word Paul. Paul only. Oh no, I'm on one of those sites. Oh no, I'm in trouble. Anyway. So, I get so distracted so easily at this age. He's the bread of life, John chapter 6. Okay, and if you go to verse 63, he answers the question as far as, do they need to turn Jesus' body into a bunch of little wafers? Remember the little bread things you would make, Marilyn, for the church back at Tusha, those little square little things? Every time that plate would go by, I wanted to stop and eat that, put some jam over that stuff and just eat those things. They were pretty good. Probably pretty healthy, no salt, and no MSG, and all that stuff. But, you know, what is this stuff here? He says in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. He's not telling them to literally eat his body. And it's just, but somehow they stop at 62, I guess. They don't read 63. Oh, well. Look down here, just a quick blur. We'll get back to it later. But look down at verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. See, there's another verse that says this is what they have to believe in the Gospels. That he was that Christ, the Son of God, of the living God. That's what they had to believe. And does that make us a Christian today? No. How can you say that? You have to go to Paul's books. So these people don't even believe in Paul's teachings, go to Paul's teachings to prove salvation sometimes. Go to Romans all the time. Who wrote that? Duh. Paul. What's wrong with the rest of Paul? Now I am whining, aren't I? Okay, relax. Oh. I think it'd be fun to be invited to a pastor's conference somewhere, especially Jack Hiles, and have them allow me to speak. And in 5 seconds or less, they would find out that I don't fit the pastor's mold. I don't want to be like them. I've never wanted to be like them. They lie to their people. They manipulate their people. And they're just trying to build a work. And if they get gain, then that proves godliness, which is exactly 2 seconds, huh? Well, they know right away by 1 second because I wouldn't dress like they do. I wouldn't talk like they do. And if nobody's standing around, nobody would rush early to put their Bibles down so they could hear Brother Paulson. I don't have the mustache. I don't have the beard. I don't have the... I carry guns. That probably bothers most of them, not all of them. I don't wear a sport coat. Oh, I hate sport coats. I love it on our anyway, bunny trail here. Sorry, gets me off. Oh, sport coats. It's like, I know there's, you know, I think there's probably a truth. The reason men wore sport coats in the olden days in suits because they're modest. They're long coats that go down below the waist. And today men ought to have sport coats. They'd be wearing a blanket or something. The way their pants are so tight and everything, you know, there's modesty to a sport coat. And besides that, it covers up your fat tummy. I'm almost tempted to wear sport coats again, except I think I would look like the Mitchell and Tyre wearing a sport coat. So I got to get rid of this stuff here. Anyway. So yes, the Gospels. Read them, but don't reject them. He's the Lamb of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. This is true history. It's inspired. It's inerrant. Of course, it's preserved. It's the stuff. It is the way of God. But we want the way of God more perfectly from Paul's books on. Now also, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yeah, I'm not going to get these all done this morning. Come on, folks. Make it work so they can come back tonight. I mean, the pastor shouldn't have to beg. He just wants the people to hear what the Bible says. And I enjoy speaking to names instead of a tape recorder or a DVD. For 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of... I'm losing my voice. Maybe I won't be here tonight. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Nor of me, that's Paul. Now, the testimony of our Lord. What is the testimony of our Lord? The testimony of our Lord, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If he was there, he's the Creator. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that, even though the modern Bible take Jesus Christ out of creation. Even the creationists have a Bible that says Jesus Christ. That take Jesus out of creation. Oh, people, come on out there. Anyway, the Old Testament, who'd Moses see? Jesus. Just hadn't manifested in the flesh yet. He's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Or the Father, Son, all part of the Trinity. You got the Gospels, you've got Paul's times, you got the Great Commission, you got Paul's times, you got the tribulation times, you got his coming, you got his rapture, you've got his coming, you've got the millennium after that, you got eternity after that. That's the testimony of our Lord. It isn't just Gospels only. It isn't just Paul only. You learn about the testimony of the Lord by reading the Gospels. And yes, he is the Son of God. John 3:16, blah, all that stuff. All that stuff is there. So listen, yeah, read the Gospels, but just don't reject them. No, there's truth in those things. Number two, for those that are taking notes, really just number two. Okay, don't reject them. And then on number two, don't change them. Don't change them. Here we go. Look at Matthew 4. These people that read the Gospels, they change them. They buy Bibles that say different things. They buy books from a guy who can literally claim that I got rid of the word meek and I'm the head of the radio Bible class. So here's a Christian organization telling the world that their Bible has got mistakes in it. Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that just a marvelous thing? But God has told them where the mistakes are at, which is, by the way, why we have almost 400 Bibles now, and they all compare themselves to the King James Bible. That was my first clue right there, that there must be something special about that King James Bible. New King James Bible, that's a lie. That is not from the same manuscripts. They go through the manuscripts of the other Bibles and make the corrections in a New King James Bible still. They just keep the these and the thous. And the these and the thous should still be there. I'll be quiet. I'm bunny trailing here. Matthew, what did I say? Matthew 4:4. Hello, anybody typing out there? Yep, if I didn't, we're going to go there now. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, that's a fantastic verse, because this whole Bible is preceded out of the mouth of God. Right, to divide the word of truth, and you got what you need. But all these new Bibles and these people, their Bible doesn't say, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For some reason, they took that out of there. Their Bibles only say, man shall live by bread alone, period. So don't go into your Gospels and try to change them. Well, here we go. Let's go through a bunch of these things. Matthew 25, verse 31. We're just going to fly here. I haven't done this for a long time. Matthew 25, verse 31. If I can remember these things here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Well, they take the word holy out. Why do they take the word holy out? I'm sure they can justify it with their little manuscripts or little papyruses or their little previous manuscripts who haven't been found, and, you know, all that kind of garbage. But can God honor his promise to preserve his words from generation to generation? Well, sure he can. It just happens to be that these people that have these new Bibles, their Bible doesn't say that God promised to preserve his words. Their Bible, Psalm 12, 6 and 7, promises to preserve his people. That isn't what that says in the King James. Now, this stuff here does get me going, all the changes they make in Bibles. Now, this does, it irritates me. And remember what Paul said in Acts 19, I think it is? Despise and destroy the magnificence. I want to destroy the magnificence of these gospel believers because they are changing the Word of God. Now, the King James guys do the same thing. Well, yeah, because it says to follow Paul, but they choose not to follow Paul. So you might as well take the words out of there. Anyway, let's keep going here. I'm in bunny trailing. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, which is right after Matthew chapter 7 and just before chapter 9. Well, I've said that for a long time. I don't think I said that since I left Touchette. Verse 29, Matthew 8. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? These are the devils and stuff. Why did they take the word Jesus out of there? Why do they take the word Jesus? What's wrong with the word Jesus being there? Kind of nails it down to who you're talking to, doesn't it? Look at Matthew chapter, I hope that's a 9. Matthew 9, verse 42. Let's check it out. No, it can't be Matthew 9. Maybe it's 8. No, I'm sorry, it's Mark. Man, you're making notes at 1 and 12 in the morning and all that stuff. You somehow did not read the change overnight. Mark chapter 9, verse 54. Nope, that's not what it is either. 42, I'm sorry, 42. That's my fault. No, why do I have that? I don't have my notes. Mark 9, 42. It's just like, I wish that verse was today. I don't have that one down. Do I have that? No, I don't have that. Let me look it up in the NIV right here. Mark 9:42. I wish God would get those people that abuse their children, don't homeschool them properly, and don't bring them up properly, and make them go out to a liquor store to see if they're old enough. Oh, I tell you what, the devil ought to. I wish that verse was from Paul. That's my flesh anyway. 9:42. What does it say here? If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me, how are we doing so far? Offend or cause them to sin. Well, that's the difference. It'd be better him, yeah, offend and cause them to do something. Let's go on to Matthew 6. Go back to Matthew 6. That's probably not 9. What if that isn't 8? Let's check out 8:42. Is it 8:42? No. You think I would have noticed my scribble last night. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It says here, but when you pray, oh, there we go, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. And they say, don't keep babbling. Babbling and repetition, two different things. Repetition is like a rosary, the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. If you don't, according to Paul, if you don't rightly divide, you're babbling anyway. Profane and vain babblings. That has nothing to do with repeating something. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew 7, 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. And with the change in there, Matthew 7, 13. I read that? Yep. For wide is the gate, they say difficult. It's difficult to get to heaven. Verse 14 is what it should say, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And they say that the word is supposed to be difficult. Well, yeah, it may be difficult, but why is it difficult? Because it's so narrow. You don't take the word narrow out of there. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Luke 9:54. How are we doing for time? Too much yakking. Look at 9:54. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" Ah, look it up here. I don't have my notes on that one either. Well, I tell you, memory really goes down, doesn't it? Oh, I hate when I fizzle up like this. 8:54. I'm looking at 9:54. What do we have here? Okay, I don't know. It must be a different chapter. Who knows? I botched that one up too. Oh, here we go. See one book, page 218. Okay, where did I put my one book? Now that was brilliant. I put it away. I'll do it tonight. Keep going here. Let's go to Matthew 18, verse 11. Too tired, I guess, this morning. Matthew 18, 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Let me show you something. Matthew 18, 11 in an NIV. Matthew 18, 11. Here we go. Let's see here. 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, look at that. Verse 11 is not even in here. Really? Yeah, it's not even in here. What's it say? For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Oh, that's a pretty powerful verse. How could you justify taking that thing out? Well, let's see if they say something that says down here. Do they footnote this thing? They don't even footnote it. So they go from 10 to 12. You think somebody would notice that? Hey, mommy, where's verse 11? Ah, it amazes me. Let's go to Luke chapter, us also. Let's go to Matthew 25, 31. I did that one already. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Go ahead. Read the Gospels. Don't reject them. They're true. Go ahead, read the Gospels. But don't change them. This is what they do when they read their Gospels. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus, they say him. Every time the word Jesus is there, they use the word him. Him could be anybody. Look at Matthew 6. Go back to Matthew. Matthew 6, 33. Matthew 6, 33. It says here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Remember when Christ came, when Jesus came the first time, he came with both kingdoms, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And when they killed him, and they got rid of Stephen, it became a kingdom of God issue. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. But if they would have followed this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's the spiritual part of being a Jesus follower, and his righteousness, they would have had to do the right things. All these things should be added unto you. The things above there, which God will take care of you. By the way, bunny trail, here's why we think God will take care of us as Gentiles physically with blessings and blessings and houses and cars and stuff. Because see, in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. We're always looking for the materialistic things. It's the Jews that God said, hey, I'll take care of you. You're my people. I'll take care of you. Aren't we his people? We're his people spiritually. We're adopted spiritually. But we really aren't his people. So he's not obligated to take care of us. He takes care of his Jews. Romans chapter 11. Then he'll take care of us. What does Paul say he gives us? What kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings. Huge spiritual blessings. Great spiritual blessings. Physical blessings? No. That's what we do. That's the job of a Gentile. So we assume that God will give us all this stuff. Go ahead. Buy a house without a job. Go ahead, Brian. Go downtown. Buy yourself a Mercedes-Benz. God will provide. And when he doesn't, 6 months later, you got to give the thing back. Your credit's gone. What happened here? God must not exist. God exists. You just said he was going to do something he wasn't going to do. And God isn't going to go against his truth to make you think, to make you believe in him. That's a sign. We don't go by signs. We go by faith. His faith. Ephesians chapter 3, or 1, I think it just talks about spiritual blessings. Okay, get back to these verses here. In 6:33, they take out the kingdom of God. They just say his kingdom. They just seek his kingdom. The Old Testament's kingdom of heaven. You get your priests, you get your church buildings, you get your temples, blah, 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 your tabernacle, all that stuff. It's kingdom of heaven. That is a visible, visual kingdom. Now today, we're supposed to be looking to the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17. Spiritual things, spiritual things. How can I get away with doing a church from my house? Well, count your blessings. You don't have to pay offering. Don't have to pay tithes. You don't have to get up and get dressed in the morning and come in like all fancy, prettied up with your best stuff that you never wear during the week. And you look kind of goony then, because you don't dress like that. Only means you do for Sunday morning, but not Sunday night. Oh, so you do come to church dressed thinking God is in the building. No, we don't have to worry about that stuff. People have all these buildings and churches all over. Listen, there's a church between here and a town I teach in. Out in the country, it's all prairie, right? It's just flat and prairie. And yet, way about there, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles, 5 miles, I don't know how far it is. I got to go see it one of these days. There's this huge church out there. Somebody told me it's a Lutheran church. It's huge. So I've got to go way out there to find God. God is in me. This church thing today, the buildings, these churches with the steeples, open the door and look at all the peoples and all that stuff. That's bogus to God. It doesn't matter where you get together to meet. Doesn't matter. You can get in somebody's house. You can do it in somebody's garage. You can have a Bible study in the car on the way to see Mount Rushmore. I mean, you can do anything you want in the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. Not meat or drink. It's not a visual one. Now, here's our Commandant Marine. He can go out to a war, and he and God can have a fantastic communion right there in his little foxholes. The Marines do foxholes still, or do they call them something else? They probably call them some kind of a earth removal, environmentally approved earth removal. Be sure and put the dirt back when you leave. You want to leave everything the way it was when you got there. Anyway, so the gospel reading people think that they want to seek the kingdom. They just want to seek God's kingdom, His kingdom. Well, what is that? You have large divots. What is His kingdom? According to Paul, it's kingdom of God. And they were told to seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah, get this spiritual thing going, and God would bless them. God would bless them in the kingdom of heaven, the earthly kingdom. Does that make sense? I'm starting to speed up because I see the time is disappearing here. Mark chapter 10. Let's go to Mark. I think we did that one already. No, we didn't. Mark chapter 10. Can't read my notes, but let's check it out. Mark chapter 10. See, this is the stuff to get into when you actually start reading and studying your Bible. Your life changes. You may be living a good life now, and you start reading your King James Bible, you're going to realize why you're doing it. And then you're going to realize the attack that's going to come. I promise you, if you're doing the right thing in some respects based on God's teachings, then one, you're probably very proud of yourself because you're living such a good Christian life. You probably think everybody else has got a good testimony about yourself. You know, you get pretty prideful there. But when you realize by studying that these things are brought, you've got the capabilities because of the risen Savior, then you start changing the reasons for why you do what you do. And then you become a spiritual person. You start looking at not only spiritually pious, you know, know-it-all arrogant Christian. You start doing stuff for God. You don't start doing stuff for yourself. Dress right, talk right, you're proud of yourself. Yeah, it's all about you. It'll still burn. So, you get into the Gospels? No, this is not our place. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, there you go. Okay, here you go. If you're a gospelator, gospel, what I call him, a gospelator, there we go. This is to you. One thing thou lackest. Well, here, look up at verse 17, there's your question. This guy says, Master, good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, there's the question. That is a gospel question right there. Answer. Verse 21, one thing thou lackest, because this guy's done everything else. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross, and follow me. So, there's what you're supposed to do. If you want to believe and actually activate the gospels in your life, there's your way to heaven right there, eternal life. Now, the funny thing is, these modern Bibles, they take up the cross. Now, why would they do that? Here's why they would do that. First of all, the verse is bogus anyway. It doesn't get us to heaven. But there are people out there that think this is what pleases God, so yes, they need to do this. But one thing these modern Christians don't want to do is they don't want to take up the cross. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, Paul never tells us to do that. He never tells us to do that. We crucify our flesh. We tell our flesh no for the fourth sandwich at midnight. We tell our flesh no for this, no for that. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. But in the Old Testament days, in the gospel days, they had to take up their cross. They had to, whatever it is that's going to bother them, kill it, you know. And who wants to do that? These modern Christians who follow the Gospels, they want to follow Jesus, but they don't want to get rid of their modesty. They don't want to get rid of their eating. They don't want to get rid of their lifestyle. They don't want to get rid of their job if you're a stripper at the MGM Hallelujah Chorus and you're singing How Great Thou Art in Sunday school, in church Sunday morning. I saw that in Las Vegas. She was a stripper down at the Hallelujah Acres, just at the Hallelujah something at the MGM Grand. And she came to church in time to sing How Great Thou Art. Then she's got to run to get into her show. The pastor said this. She's a stripper singing at the church Sunday. See, if you get rid of this take up your cross stuff, you can just be this modern anything goes Christian. Now look around as these gospel conservative good people Christians. They have no issue. They don't know that there's a fight going on. They don't know that the devil's trying to get them to imitate Christ. They don't know that the world is trying to bring everybody together into a one-world government. They really don't know. They don't know that by now. But they really don't know that the devil wants to get everybody into a one-world religion. And all this gospel stuff is putting everybody towards a one-world religion. Get rid of that take up the cross stuff. Get rid of having to sacrifice. Get rid of suffering for Jesus, as they would say. You know? So the devil even goes into a book that isn't written to Christians, and it makes it even easier to be a Christian. Oh, get rid of that take up the cross nonsense. You don't have to do that. God's taking care of all of that for you. He gives you the power to do the right thing. No, you've got an issue in your life, you're always going to have it. Praise the Lord. Paul teaches that Christ took care of all those burdens and all those issues on the cross. All nailed to the cross. Get off the cross for crying out loud and live a life that pleases God. Start doing the right thing. Start today. Start tonight. Do something right for God for once in a while. I know you want to do it and it's fun and da-da-da, but just do it for Him. And look at this guy, verse 22. Even this guy didn't even like to hear it. He went away. He was grieved because he had a lot of stuff. That's what it says. He had great possessions. Paul doesn't tell us to give everything away. Paul taught us socialist or communist. Get a job. Keep the money you make. Help people out. Anyway. Okay. We have a couple more that I have to quit early. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 33. See, modern Christians don't want to get into any issues. They don't want to talk about music. They don't want to know that the music in your church, God hates it. He says in Amos chapter 5, I don't want to hear the sound of thy vial. Even in the Old Testament, when things are going bad, he didn't want to hear their music. And in Colossians and Ephesians, Paul says, hey, listen, your music's in your heart. Are you still out there? Patience, you're still there. You're still there. You know, this harp stuff. You're going to get tired of playing hymns. You're going to get tired of playing the straight stuff. Yeah, I promise you, being a musician, you get tired of that. You want to put a little offbeat thing in there. So you want to put in one of these neat little jazz chords. You want to follow some singing group out there that's popular and famous because you like their fleshy songs too. Then you'll find yourself doing that after a while. But you know, I hope you haven't forgotten this stuff, you know that there's a music that pleases God and there's a music that doesn't please God. Nobody gets it. Nobody wants to even try it. They know what they like. They have no clue about those. I like to ask people that know anything about music, what do those dots mean in that book, in those five lines? They have no idea. It must be like looking at a book with a bunch of black BB dots shot into the thing. It makes no sense to people. Isn't that amazing? And Paul warns about that. Paul warns about not knowing that voice, that language that's working on you. And that language is driving you towards the Antichrist. And you don't even know it. So you want to come along and tell these people that? Yeah, get off your, you know, they don't want to hear it. And as soon as they hear that and they start to believe it, oh man, now what can I do? See, I can't wear my skirt short. I can't go swimming. And you shouldn't go swimming. No matter what, wet or dry. You go to somebody's house, they still don't hug them. No matter, you still don't hug them. Family, I don't believe even guys, I don't believe even dads and daughters should be hugging after a while. I mean, how far do you go with this stuff? Well, read your Bible. What's shamefacedness? You can go on and on with this stuff. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things. A modern Bible says Joseph, his father and his mother. Joseph was not Jesus' father. He was not. So why does your Bible say father there? You don't want to get rid of the deity of Christ. Get one more here, Luke chapter. Oh, let's go to John. Let's go to John. John's full of good stuff. How could they change the book of John? Everybody reads the book of John. Well, look at John chapter 6, verse 47. Oh, I better look it up in the NIV here. John 6, 47. I can't read my notes here. John 6, 47 says, in NIV it says, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Okay, what's missing there? In the King James it says what? He that believeth on me. A modern Bible, NIV, RSV, TV, all that kind of stuff, they take out on me. Now, we have to realize, again, that this believing on me stuff means that he is the Messiah. Not what Paul preaches for belief and faith. But these folks still had to have faith and believe that he was the Messiah. So don't get that confused. But the simple fact that they take out the word believeth on me, you can believe on anybody. Like it's like the AAAAAA program where you're drinking alcohol all the time. Your doorknob can become your God. Whatever it is your God. Whatever's got the power over you, obey it. What a bunch of baloney. That's John 6:47. Look at John 16:16. Yeah, go ahead, read the Gospels, but don't change anything. It's exactly the way God wants it to be written. And he wants us to read it and study it. He just doesn't want us to apply it. Yeah. John 16:16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They take out because they go to the Father. Why are they going to take that out? That's called resurrection. Matter of fact, we know the way of God more perfect. We know that when he went to the Father, Mary couldn't touch him, but the disciples could, because Jesus himself went up, paid the penalty, paid the price of the blood, came back down, and then they could touch him. So we even know how to see. They didn't know that then. What does that mean? You shall see me because I go to the Father. Not only did they not know what that meant, they didn't know how he was going to go to the Father. We do, if you read a King James Bible. We know. See, the way of God was for him to go to the Father. The way of God more perfectly is to know how we did that. And Paul teaches us that. Actually, he teaches it to the Jews in Hebrews chapter 9. Isn't that amazing? Okay, how are we doing? Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 4. We're almost done here this morning. But who's in a hurry, right? We've got what? We've got Tushy, we've got Grandma, and Patience. You have to go to church, but not for a while yet. It'll be such a hurry. And everybody else. A white cloud, you're in Texas now, aren't you? Yeah, let's just keep going here. Let's go here to John chapter 6, verse 4. Why do I have John chapter 6, verse 4? Maybe 14? I don't know, but John chapter 6, verse 4 isn't anything I'm familiar with, so I must have written down the wrong ones again. I've got written down here John chapter 6, verse 4, no name. Maybe it takes out the Jews. I don't know, I'll look that one up later, fix it tonight. Look at John chapter 1. I hate it when I botch these things up. You know what? And the funny thing is, when I was paid the big bucks, I still botched them up, didn't I? Grandma, Patience. And Mark, you knew that. I still botched them up, so that had nothing to do with it. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That's what they say. That's what their Bible says. The Word was a God. My Bible is not my God. God's Word is not my God. God is my God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Spirit of God is the power that's in me through this Bible to learn what I need to learn. And Paul is my apostle. My King James Bible is my Word. Rightly divided, Word of truth. It's not my God. I can't get rid of my little Bible because I've got so many notes in this thing. This little hand size. And I can't even turn the pages. They're so thin. And the pencil is smudged. I look like I had dirty hands when I was doing this thing. This is the Word of God to me. But it's still a book with paper. I got another Bible that Bob gave to me. Marvelous, very expensive, beautiful, large print Bible. And I just can't part with my little one yet. But it's not my God. The Word was not a God. The Word was God. Well, if you're asking John chapter 6:4, yeah, I said let's check it out here. John chapter 6:40, maybe that's what it was. Didn't write it all down, huh? That wouldn't surprise me. John 6:40. Well, I gotta look up. Let me look it up in this other one here. John chapter 6, verse 40. No, I don't need to see any names disappear because we're going a little long here, because that would irritate me. I know that. John chapter 6, we're almost done for the first part. John chapter 6, verse 40, what do they say? Stop grumbling among yourselves. Oh, isn't that just brilliant when they use the modern language? John 6:40. That's 43. 40, where's 40? For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Seeth the Son and believeth on him, they have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. Believeth on him, see verse 69. Yeah, I forgot what I did in this one. Believes in him. Bible here says believes on him. That's huge. But that happens all the time. To believe in him, we believe on him. He's your Messiah. And I'm supposed to do something about that. To believe in him doesn't have to change your life at all. Anyway, what else have I have here? I think that could probably do it here this morning. My point is, we read the Gospels. We're not told not to read the Gospel. I don't preach that at all. And why these people think that, it just amazes me. So, yeah, read the Gospels. But don't reject them like the hypers do. And don't anybody tell you that that's, if they say you're a hyper, I read my whole Bible. Don't let them catch on that one, especially the Marines there, buddy. They're going to tell you stuff like that if they talk anything with you at all. I've got Luke 21:19. We didn't do that one. Let me check it out really quick. Why didn't we do that one? Okay, NIV says 21:19. John chapter, or Luke chapter 21. Probably read that and do it because I don't know what it was. 21:19. Not by a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. 21:19. 21 didn't sound right, did it? In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience. And they say, by standing firm. There you go, that's what it was. Standing firm as compared to patience. Having patience, you get ahead with life. Standing firm. No, still cause anyway. There's a difference there too. So listen, don't change anything when you read your gospel. That's the problem. It's the problem people are having. Now I've got four more things tonight, and they're short. I should have been able to get them in, but I just get to talking here. There's four other things I'm encouraging people not to do when they do read the gospels. I'm not against reading the gospels. Don't reject them. A lot of historical truths in there. Just wasn't written to us, that's all. Don't change them. It's still the Word of God. And those four more things tonight. And I hope you can come back. I hope you can come back. There you go. Oh, that was the other one. Are you still there? Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Yeah, the last killer, big one here was Mark chapter 16. Come on, are you still there? Yep, no names are gone yet. Mark 16. This one has amazed me since I was a little kid and I first heard about it. Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 20 are missing. They're not there in a new Bible. Is that amazing? 9 to 20. Now why would that be? Well, first of all, people think that the reason the devil took that out of there is because he doesn't want them to see that they need to believe and to be baptized. And that is not the reason. That is nowhere that the reason. That is a bunch of gospel baloney. If you take those verses from 9 to 22 out of your Bible, you will destroy proof verses that show that the Great Commission and what's being taught today are wrong. 9 to 22, leave it in there, and I can show you that we're not in the Great Commission. But if you take those verses out of there, then according to Matthew, you could be in the Great Commission today. That is a huge thing that they've done by taking verses 9 to 22. Math. How many numbers is that? See, 9 is 10, 12, 10 and 2 is 13. Is that 13? 14. I knew I was right.
I cannot do math in my head. I can't do math on a piece of paper. And I used to tell people, see, the devil took that out because he doesn't want you to be believing and baptizing to be saved. No, he took that stuff out of there because you can expose the Great Commission today. You can expose Pentecostalism right here in these verses. And it's from 16 to 20. Why do you want to do that? Because they're being lied to. They don't have the real Jesus. They have another Jesus. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that bother you that some people are learning the wrong thing and they're being duped and they're being deceived? Do you think possibly their salvation can be deceived as well? Sure, is the rightly divided King James Bible the word of truth? Yes, is it the gospel of yourself? I mean, it just goes on. It goes on and on. And why don't we think that taking out that 14 verses from the book of Mark, something's not right here? I mean, if you can't remember anything else, show that one to a modern Bible guy and see what they say. Same thing with Acts 8:37. You go to Acts 8:37 in the modern Bible, and they take that verse out of there. Why? To show that baptism comes after salvation? No. It shows that that guy had to believe that Christ was the Son of God. That's what it takes away. See, we believe what we hear other pastors say. We never read the Bible ourselves. I don't want anybody ever to just listen to me and let me teach you. I want you to open up your book, follow along. You'll see it is not me teaching this stuff. That is a Bible. That is God's Word teaching that stuff. That's what that's all about. I'm nothing. I'm a South Dakota pastoral has-been, music teacher has-been, human being has-been, almost. But this Bible is not. It is still an at-is, and it's still a will-be. Exactly the way it's written. I'd love to get the work started out here somehow. Just not a work, but just people interested and wanting to sit down and just talk. I can sit down around guns and talk. There we go. Tannerite, there we go. I haven't done that yet out here. I got some school kids, they want to see that, some parents. They want to see me do a Tannerite thing. But Marilyn, relax. I'm not going to have, I knew it, there it comes. I'm not going to have a Santa shoot. Out here? Oh, man. I mean, these people do Christmas out, it's real. If I did a Santa shoot, I might as well have that truck packed and say, I'm sure it's this, I'll find out. Easter Bunny's going to be the same old thing. I'm telling you, if I did something like that, my truck better be packed. And I guess I didn't realize that in a touche. I guess it kind of, you know, yeah. Oh man, would we hear about it around here? I told the superintendent I'm not going to do any Santa Claus songs. So I'll do the Christmas thing, but I'm not doing Santa Claus. Her mouth dropped. Oh, I wanted to say, I'm sorry. Do you still believe in Santa Claus? I mean, come on. Oh, I tell you. Paul says, you want to live a godly life, you want to do the right thing, you'll suffer persecution. I guarantee it. You start getting, if you got into this Paul stuff, anybody out there on the website out there, you're getting into this Paul stuff for the first time, you might as well put your friends on a list and start saying goodbye to them, because they're not going to want to listen to you, and you're going to be burdened for them. You're not going to be a jerk. You're just going to want them to hear what you're learning about your Bible, and they're going to trash you. I promise you, they'll trash you. Paul says, the more abundantly I love, the less I am loved. And I know that happens. The more you tell somebody the truth, the less they love you. I promise that. So love God more than people. Do you love your husband more than you love your husband more than you love God? Do you love your wife more than you love God? Do you love your job more than you love God? Do you love God more than your job, more than your husband? Do you love God more than your children? You should. If that doesn't make any sense to you, it's probably because you love something more than God. Anyway, we'll see you folks tonight. Like I say, do your best to come back tonight.